Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Laura, for leading us there again. We really appreciate it. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to Philippians chapter 1 today. One of the verses or line or two in this hymn we just sang, when it is so indicative of what I want us to see by taking the long view. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. And sometimes in the moment, we get disheartened. And so part of what we talked about when we talked about Joseph is that he was able to see at the end of his life that God sovereignly was in control and brought him to be the savior of Egypt and the world at that time. And then last week we talked about Jesus in the storm with his disciples, and again the need for faith in Christ. If we're in his boat, we need to trust him. And he is the one that helps us step by step along the way. So today we're going to talk about the long view of salvation. And I was thinking about these thoughts in terms of how the quality of our life changes by the long view. And I'm going to talk about that a little in a minute. But this last week we had the opportunity to be together with our two grandsons who live in London. And I wasn't with them about 3 minutes, and it goes like this. Chase us, Papa, chase us. And so I put them off for a while. I put them off. And then I had to put my running shoes on. And then I tired myself out. But it was just the thought that running is a great picture of what we're getting at here. We know that the issue of running basically starts with like, oh, go! And then we're running and we pick up speed and all of a sudden we trip over our feet or something throws us off and we end up falling and scraping and bleeding, and along comes a coach or a parent or mom and dad, and they kind of pick us up and they dust off that scratch and they encourage us along and they get out a frozen Band-Aid. Now, Frozen, to those of you who are younger, is a recent animation in recent years. If you want to talk about Flintstone Band-Aids, then you'll remember. But you put that Band-Aid on and you encourage and you wipe the tears and now go on. You can make it. You can do it. And certainly the Bible speaks of the race of life. Paul the Apostle mentions it in 2 Timothy 3:7 when he spoke of finishing his race. And so the Christian, we are in a race. And often we are like the child running. We begin well and it's going so good and we're so excited about knowing Jesus. But the reality is we live in a broken world. And we are not immune from the brokenness, whether that involves tragedy or involves disease or emotions and all that type of thing. And so there is the issue that living in a broken world for us as believers involves bumps and falls and scrapes and blood and tears. And yet, just like the child, we need to find help so that we are picked up, we are cleaned off, we find reassurance and comfort and strength, and we go on. And that is a part of life. It's a part of a child's development and running. It's a part of the believer's development, as we will see as we go on here this morning. So part of what's happening there when you're helping that child up off the ground, or when we as believers find ourselves in a situation that is not the most comfortable, is that the person who's encouraging us often has the long view. You see where you came from? You ran all the way here. Now, do you see where you're headed? And what they're trying to do is to take us in the moment and say, you have come a long way. You can run. You have the ability, the strength, the speed. And yes, you stumbled here and it hurts. But look at where you're headed. You can do this. And so every parent has the long view. And they want the child to get a hold of that. And I believe that every person who wants to be a Christ follower needs to get a hold of the long view. Joseph had to. The disciples in the boat last week had to. And today when we talk about salvation, of course, we are talking about the long view. And even though right now in the moment we need to take a breath, drink some water, clean yourself off here. But you're going to go on. Look at where you're headed for. And heaven is a wonderful place that's filled with glory and grace. There is light at the end of the tunnel when you know Jesus. So that long view changes the quality of my life in the moment when I'm dusting myself off, because what I'm going through is not the most pleasant. And so the quality does change when we have the long view. So today we want to talk about this long view of salvation. And you'll understand this better as I go on. Now the book of Philippians is backed up from Acts chapter 16, where Paul went into Philippi and he met this lady called Lydia, the seller of purple. She came to know Jesus personally. She made a tremendous impact. She was a businesswoman. She made a tremendous impact upon those around her, and she had a group that met in her house, and Paul taught them. And then Paul performed a miracle, because this girl who could tell fortunes was following them around, and Paul had about enough of that demonic behavior, and he turned and he commanded the demon to come out of that young girl, and she was set free from that tyranny. But those who owned her and made profit from her didn't like it. They put Paul and Silas in prison. And then you know that God affirmed Paul and Silas, because the prison shook, the doors were open, and a jailer and his whole family came to know Jesus as Savior. And so the church started in Philippi there. And it was a tremendous time of Paul teaching. And here we come to this book, which is Paul's letter to them. And in chapter 1, let's just start reading here at verse 2. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Now look at this verse, because this is where we're going to focus. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. In this verse 6, remember last week we talked about the fact that sometimes it's good to take a sweeping movement like we did. The life of Joseph and the complete storm and learn a lesson. And not just get caught up in chewing one little verse to death and missing the Holy Spirit's intent in all the writing of the rest of a Bible book or a section. But today, we're going to do the opposite. We're going to focus on one verse and see how it just blossoms forth and represents the rest of the whole of Scripture. Excuse me. So here we have this, and I want you just to look at these phrases very quickly. He had been confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you. Here we have, first of all, talking about the whole completeness of salvation. And the issue in Paul's mind was there was a time of conception. It's when the Philippian people had planted in their minds the words of Scripture, and the Holy Spirit helped them to appreciate the fact that Jesus was indeed the only Savior. Forgiveness of sin was possible. And when they, through faith, gave their lives to Jesus, they were given the gift of eternal life. And so God conceived in them. He was the one who began that good work, as a father does. And God began working in their heart, and they understood God's love. Jesus is Lord. They received Christ, and they were given eternal life. This is indeed a great thing that God begins. And Peter is so clear in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 21, when he speaks that we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And it speaks of the fact that I have absolutely no standing before God on my own. But when Jesus died on the cross, He was my substitute. He took my place because I should die for my own sin. But He took my sin on Himself, and He died, and they buried Him. But death could not hold Him. He rose the third day, and He is Savior. He is alive. And so this tremendous message came to the people at Philippi. And God began a good work in their hearts because of the word of God they heard through Paul, and they gave their lives to Jesus. And that's always where it begins. And I intentionally use the word conception because Jesus told Nicodemus, John 3, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And he was talking to Nicodemus, who was a religious teacher, who thought that he was doing pretty good. But something was missing, so he snuck up and talked to Jesus secretly on a roof at night. And twice Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And in the same way that we are born through conception into the human family, we must be born a second time or be born again into God's family. But the seed that makes that possible in conception is the Word of God that comes to us. And it is planted in our minds, and the Holy Spirit helps us to value. I am loved by God, but I have sinned. But Jesus provided forgiveness, and I want it, and I give my heart to Christ. And when we give our heart to Christ, we receive new life, and we're born into God's family, and we become citizens of heaven, as he says later on here in Philippians. So this is a great start. He who began a good work in you, that's where salvation starts, at receiving Christ. Secondly here, notice what he said, he will carry it on. And to me, that speaks of continuation of God's good work in us. When we did Ephesians last winter, God carrying on His work in our life, where I'm constantly talking to Him and listening to the Scripture, and we have a relationship now, it's not a matter of a religion, that whole carrying on His work in me is helping me to grow so that I become more like Jesus. That's what it's all about. I need to develop, and I need to grow up spiritually. And so God is the one that makes this possible, a transformation that takes place in me. It is by God's Word, by the Holy Spirit applying it to my mind and my heart, and encouraging God's people along the way to do such. Look over at chapter 2, verses 11 to 13 here, just in Philippians. There's a lot in this book. But here we see, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, He tells us, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't mean work at it, but work it out. It's already inside. When you know Jesus, you have salvation. God began a good work. And then it says in verse 13, it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. And so he began a good work. Now he's carrying it on. And we have God helping us along to be more like him and to represent him in our lives. But note the last part of this verse 6. He will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. And so, God conceived in the life of the believer by planting his word through a friend, through reading the Bible. However we came about to know the scripture, our need to know him and respond to him. And when we do that, God conceived eternal life in our soul. Now he carries it on. God is helping me to become like Jesus. That's part of salvation. But also until the day of completion when Jesus comes back and I am transformed and set free completely from any influence of sin. You want to see that? Look over at chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. There's so much here that Paul is just rejoicing in. He says in verse 20 of chapter 3, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they may be like his glorious body. So this is something that will happen when Jesus comes back to receive believers to himself. So what we've wanted to see here is that in Philippians 1:6, we have the long view of salvation. It starts at conception when I receive Christ as Savior. It is continued on as I become more like Jesus. And ultimately, it is finished when I meet Jesus and I spend eternity with him in heaven. And so often, theologians use three words to describe this. When I receive Jesus, I was delivered from the penalty of sin. Presently, as God works in me, he gives power to say no to sin and yes to righteousness, and my character is transformed. But ultimately, I am delivered from the very presence of sin, and I will live with Jesus forever. This is the long view of salvation, deliverance. I've been set free, no longer dominated by sin, no longer under the death penalty, no longer someone who has to bow to Satan and controlled by fear of death, but rather salvation has come to the person who has received Jesus as Savior. So this is this complete picture. And this is the long view that God wants us to live with. He says, you need to get this. I brought you to myself. I'm carrying you along. And one day you're going to be with me. And so Paul rejoiced in this great thing. Now, the very first words in verse 6 are this, being confident of this. And so the long view is something that Paul wants us to get a hold of with confidence. It has to do with having not confidence in ourselves, but confident in God. And that's why it says here, it says, I thank my God every time I remember you, but also being confident of this, that he who began a good work will carry it on. And this is God. The Christian faith is very distinct from other faiths or religions. The Christian faith has to do with admitting that I do not have the ability to gain God's favor by doing enough good deeds that I hope he receives me when I stand before him. We just admit that that is impossible. I cannot do that. But rather, I need to avail myself of the provision that God has made for me. And so when Paul says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work will carry it on and complete it, it has to do with me personally living in confidence of this, that the possibility, the provision, and the very permanence of salvation is something that I have which God has provided. The scriptures put it this way: by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it's a gift from God. And you don't work for a gift. You don't work for salvation. Titus chapter 3 is very clear. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's by His mercy that He has saved us. And so I have no ability to gain God's favor on my own. And if ever a person is to become a Christ follower, that is our first admission. That's our first recognition. I cannot do this. I cannot be perfect. And yet God demands absolute righteousness. Rather, God has the ability to provide for me and to impart to me the gift of eternal life through faith in His Son. And that's why when Brenda read this morning, Paul said, you know, if anybody could boast about human effort, I could, because I was a Jew, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, I was a Pharisee, I did all these good things. He had a whole list. But he says, when I met this person called Jesus, that which was gained to me, I count as absolute loss. It is of no profit whatsoever. But I count it loss so that I can gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through keeping the law. That is impossible. But rather a righteousness that comes from God and is by faith in God. And so this issue of confidence is a great thing that Paul lived with, and he wants us to understand this as well. We need to affirm it is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, our righteousness, holiness, redemption. Therefore, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 30 and verse 31. So this whole issue, remember last week we sang, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded, or I am convinced, that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day, the day of Christ's return. It's all about me putting confidence, not in myself, to gain God's favor, but putting my confidence in God's ability to save me from my sin and give me the gift of eternal life. So when we talk about the completeness of salvation, it also is accompanied with a confidence in God. And so if we're going to boast, boast in God. It's all of Him. I was lost. I was a sinner. I had absolutely no ability to please God. And like Jeremiah says, all my righteousnesses, they're just like filthy rags in comparison with the righteousness of God. And so I need Jesus. And the scriptures speak of the fact that when we receive Christ, we are declared righteous by God and given the gift of eternal life. Just like going into a courtroom and the judge pounds down the gavel and says, if you receive my Son as your Savior, I declare you righteous. You get heavenly citizenship. You're one of my children, and you're going to heaven. And it's that declaration of righteousness that we all need. So it's a complete salvation, and it's with confidence. Now, why do we talk about confidence in the long view? Because Paul wants us to understand that our lives are changed as we see the whole picture. And I'm thinking of the fact here that we are to live with the long view of salvation. It is the eternal view. It is the view that lasts and it endures. And it involves this: confidence that God will complete my salvation. As many as receive Christ, to those God gives the right to become the children of God. John 1:12. 1 John 5:13 tells us that anyone who receives Christ, I want you to know that you have the gift of eternal life. And so we live in that confidence. But the change also that comes is that I am confident of the good news of the gospel. It is the only good news. Jesus is the only name given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. And so Paul just boasts, and he says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And so this is our confidence, that having a complete salvation, God made it happen, and it changes my perspective in terms of how I live on planet Earth, because I know where I'm going to spend eternity. And so we talk about a confidence that fills us with praise, as Paul says here, and then confidence that sustains and encourages us during difficult times. It is God in His righteousness and in His sovereignty working with me, even in difficult times, so that I have faith in Christ and I develop Christ-like character. So let's go back to the picture of the child who falls. The parent is so eager to get them to see the long view. That's where you were. Look how far you've come. Now, you're going through a difficult time right now. Let me help you get up on your feet again. Let's clean you off and patch you up. That's where you're headed. And the long view of salvation enables us to have a change of perspective when we're going through difficult times, so that we understand that God, though we live in a broken world, is able to help us through difficult times, and we keep before us where we're headed. Romans 8:18 is a key verse here, that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so God wants us to have perspective. Recently, as I mentioned, this is the way I often put it. We live in a broken world, Christian or non-Christian, believer or non-believer. And I have a choice in a broken world whether I will walk through it with God or without God. And today, I affirm that through the completeness of salvation and the confidence that we are able to have in God's ability to save, that my life has been changed so that even though I face the challenges of a broken world, God is able to help me through, and He's changed my perspective, and I live in view of the long view, the eternal view, and that changes the quality of my life. So the question for me this morning would be, in each of our cases, are you with me? Do you have that security? Is the completeness of salvation something that you possess? Because we all need to possess it. And when that is the case, what it really says is, I put my confidence in God. And because I trust Him with such a great thing as my complete salvation, I also will trust Him when I walk through a broken world step by step. And so the quality of our life has changed. And then that's exactly why Jesus came. I come that you might have life, eternal life, and that you might have it to the full, or have it more abundantly. I'm with you. Let's keep going. This will be brought to completion. Now, in thinking of all this, part of what Paul wants us to understand is that the goal, the end, the finish line for the person who knows Jesus is heaven. And so our final hymn this morning refers to the fact that the person who knows Jesus can rejoice in this tremendous confidence. So we're going to stand to sing, "When We All Get to Heaven." What a day of rejoicing that will be. That's where the believer is headed. Let's stand together. And along with those streets of gold, as you know, there's a Timmy's on every corner. I'm sure they are somewhere. That's got to be. Okay? Wouldn't we be heaven without Timmy's, would it, Sandy? Oh, you don't go there. Let me pray for you this morning. Good. Just a reminder, please sign the card for Janet out by the mailboxes. I was thinking of a great summary portion taken from Titus. "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These things, then, you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you." Father, we pray today that you will instill within us confidence in you, that will bring about in our lives that salvation that we trust you for. We know it's all about your ability and not ours. But Lord, along the way, you want the application of the long view of salvation to help us as we walk planet Earth. And so we acknowledge today that the same confidence we have in terms of eternity, we have confidence in you day by day. Help us to trust you. Help us to look to you. Help us to look to you to give us the long view of where we're at in life and where we're headed. And may that be a tremendous encouragement to us. So we ask that you'll help us with these things. In Christ's name, amen.